receivers, the three you have now, I mean, are they as good?
You don't want to ever get into comparing. I mean, I'm very pleased with the guys we have, and certainly they have great confidence in their ability to perform, and I think they're looking forward to the challenge of not only beating the Packers, but also proving that they're in the same class as the Packers receivers that everybody acknowledges as a special group. But I think that the thing that we're probably most proud of is just the growth that's taking place, particularly with Victor, obviously, but also with Jake Ballard, who I know you're not including, but to me, he's an integral part of our passing game as well.
Kevin, the offensive and defensive coordinators seem to take about as much heat as the coaches in this.
You noticed that, huh?
Guys are singled out as much as a coach? Are your responsibilities to that extent that you have the freedom to do what you want and therefore should be blamed for some of this?
I'd probably phrase it a little differently, but I mean, there's certain autonomy that you have. I mean, obviously, Tom sets the framework for us offensively and defensively. This is what I'd like to have happen, but there's no question we have, you know, autonomy and latitude as to what we're going to do, not only in the how this thing was originally put together, but how it comes together on a weekly basis and what gets called and everything else. That's, you know, that's on our shoulders, good or bad, and you know, we certainly understand that that comes with the position.
And you don't mind, I mean, you, like all coordinators, you have been the target of a lot of wrath over.
Your kid, I didn't know that.
How do you handle it? Has it bothered you? Not bothered you?
No one likes it. I mean, anyone who says they like it is being less than truthful. But I think you know as a coach whether or not you've done a good job in, A, putting together a good plan, B, preparing your guys the way they need to be prepared. You understand the limitations and strengths that your team has. And I think that most guys are pretty comfortable knowing that they've done about all that could be done. And You live with the consequences, you know, and the bottom line is you put your guys or try to put your guys in a position where they have a chance to be successful. And if you're doing a good job, A, you know what your guys can do, and that coupled with what is the defense doing. And I think good coaches and, you know, the majority of the coaches in this league are very good coaches. They're going to be able to maximize what their guys can do within the framework of what defenses are allowing you. So I think most guys can come away saying, you know what, I know what the public is saying, I know what people are saying, but the reality of it is we did about all we could do.
Yeah, hopefully you can help settle a debate. Do you know when the back shoulder phase that the Packers throw, that you guys throw, that everybody seems to throw, became so predominant? As it, I mean, has it always kind of been around?
Let's say this. We did it in 1989 at the Houston Oilers, so we've been doing it for a long time. A lot of people have picked up on it since then. Probably Warren Moon threw it about as well as could be thrown, and it's an effective measure, obviously, against people who are playing press man. And it's a great antidote for people that are bringing pressure, and you got to get rid of the ball quickly, and you get a DB that's up press, and you turn his back, and then you hopefully have, you know, gotten good enough at it that you throw it in a location, a position that really only a receiver can make a play. It's as difficult a play for a defender as anybody, as any play is that has to be made.
When you ran with Houston, it was taught?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been doing it since, unfortunately, 23 years ago, so it's been done for a long time.
When Brandon is running like he ran last week, what sort of dimension does that give you guys as an offense?
I mean, you always love the fact that you can do everything, you know, and the reality of it is what I always look at is what are the people doing to us defensively? Where are they schematically most vulnerable? And then you try to go after that area. Now, when you go after that area, whether it's throw or pass, and you're not having success, you know, what do you do next? So they were playing us in a certain way that gave us an opportunity to get some runs going. To be quite frank with you, some of the things we thought we could get done early on in the game, we couldn't. And I realized that fairly quickly and made some adjustments. And I thought, when we gave those opportunities to the backs after that, they made some big plays for us, and that really kind of sparked us and got us going.
Is part of your game plan preparation this week with an eye toward keeping the ball to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field?
That's an objective we always have, you know, and the key is, you know, how do you get that done? And that's the thing. And the conventional wisdom, to be honest, which was quite superficial and probably doesn't hold much water, is, oh, you run the ball. Well, what you have to do is hold on to the ball, and the only way you hold on to the ball, whether you're running or passing, is to get first downs, and that's the key, and that's what you have to do. But it's something that's always always in the back of our mind. You know, how do we win the game? And A, you got to put up more points than the other team. The obvious way is, you know, you outscore them. Do you outscore them in a shootout, or do you outscore them by trying to keep the ball away from them and minimizing, you know, their output? And I think you're certainly conscious of it. Now, whether or not you can get it done is another matter.
Where are the Packers schematically vulnerable?
I'd rather not share that with you right now at this point, but I'll say this. They got a lot of playmakers, and I know, you know, there's statistics where people talk about you know, that where they rank, but I look at the other thing. Their guys make a lot of big plays, and they get a lot of turnovers, particularly interceptions, and that's the thing that's scary to me, is that they have some players on that side of the ball that are very willing to take chances and gamble, and if they give up a few plays, they don't mind, because they're looking for an interception, and hopefully we can stay away from those bad plays, because I think when you employ that style defensively, you also hopefully give us some chances on the offensive side to make some plays. Well, it was a hell of a play. I mean, it just so happened that the free safety on that play ran over to overplay, you know, Akeem, and he got over the top of the safety that was on his side, and that's who he caught the ball on, so there was nobody else there. And they tried to recover, and, of course, he made that serpentine finish to the run, and it was just a great run. Well, that, to give you one example, was the last time they played that personnel group against us. From then on, they went to a nickel package and put a nickel in and had two more safeties over the top. So the matchup was completely different. Now, again, just a, you know, as a follow-up to some of the things, now you hope then that gives you some running game possibilities and you can take advantage of that.
Kevin, how does it affect you game planning this week that you saw this team as recently as you did and they obviously saw you?
Yeah, you know what, it's – I don't know who has the advantage. I wish – you'd love to say, okay, they're going to do exactly the same as they did the last time, but you know what is going to happen is they saw where you were successful and how you approached them and what you tried to get done. So here's where the guesswork comes in. Okay, you know they're not going to do the same thing. What is the different thing they're going to do? And usually, to be quite honest, you try to predict it. Usually you're very you're not very effective or successful in predicting it, and so you got to see it as the game's going on and then make your adjustments then. But there's certain things that, you know, this is the base. They're going to basically do those things. And then how did they tweak it to stop this particular things that we had, you know, we had some success with last time? You try to guess. I think there's some obvious adjustments they can make. So you're trying to predict those things, and you're going to call some things in anticipation of that. But usually, in my experience has been, it doesn't happen quite the way you anticipated. And game day is different, and you got to be able to make some adjustments on the fly. It's not my nature to be convinced of that stuff. I'm always nervous how they're going to do it and how our guys are going to respond. Again, I do have great faith in our guys. I think that they've proven that they can be very dynamic. They can turn some short gains into touchdowns. And, you know, we hopefully will get a few of those opportunities Sunday. And the other guy that comes into the mix that wasn't with us the last time is Mario. And I think he's proven that he has made – and certainly is capable of making some big plays for us. So, again, we'll see pretty quickly. Here's what they're trying to do, and then you'll know what you want to do, and then those opportunities are going to come, whether it's the run game or whether it's a different receiver than Victor or Akeem. Maybe it's Jake. Maybe it's the backs out. Who knows what it's going to be? And then when those opportunities arise, those guys are going to have to make plays for us.